Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Hour 3? Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, DP's handling his business. We're Old School, live from 1040 O Street. We were brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat / Old Cheney, 168th and Maple up there in the O, or Omaha, or the Metro, whatever you like to call it. You know, cover some Nebraska stuff. Obviously, had Evan Bland with the recruiting and then training camp battles at Nebraska and every team in the nation is right in the thick of things. And, you know, we're 14 days away from Nebraska's game and then 16 days away from full slate of college football. And then obviously mix in some NFL and some obviously the NFL comings and goings. And, you know, with the Chiefs are in the mix there. You know, let's look at some of the NFL stuff, Austin, because I think it's really interesting. First, we have a lot of Chiefs fans, right? I'm reading here where Travis Kelce essentially said he spread himself too thin the last two off seasons and it affected his play. But I think you're going to get a motivated Travis Kelce this year, because I truly think that it's either going to be two ways. It's going to be like Cam Hayward. End of your career. Cam Hayward had like a career year last year, a kind of a hold in and not a hold out. And we'll talk about that too. We want the text line. I want your guys' opinion. Do you look down upon guys that hold out, or do you give them more credit for holding in? Essentially, you're pretty much off at like camp, you know, but you're not participating. But you know, what do you think about Travis Kelce admitting that, obviously, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, or it should be. But, you know, last year was a little bit of a down year, because then the year before started out a little slow, but he turned it on. But he admitted the last two off seasons prior, mm-hmm. That he spread himself too thin. But that's as he started. You got to take advantage of it. But what are your thoughts on that?
It's really interesting to hear him admit that. We all kind of saw it from the outside. So stuff like that, it just doesn't always feel good to say, oh, yeah, it doesn't seem like he's taking it as seriously, especially for me having not gone through the grind of an NFL offseason or, you know, dated Taylor Swift or anything like that. Like, yeah. I don't want to speak on his life, what he's doing or not doing when I don't factually know. But I do think it was an admission from Travis Kelce to some degree that, hey, I can't just get by with being better physically than everyone else anymore. Maybe I could for a while, but I think it's also a re-admission to himself that, hey, I got to double down. I got to rededicate myself. That's what I need to be successful to the level that I want to be successful at. I think that, like you said, it's only human, right? As his fame grew, his popularity grew, it makes sense that there would be more off-the-field opportunities for him. Good on him for taking advantage of them. We talk about 15 minutes of fame all the time. Capitalize if that's what you want to do, right? Football's a lot. Football supposed to mean a lot to him, but it's also not going to be his whole life forever. Not going to be an NFL football player forever. He has other opportunities. Go take them. If I were a Chiefs fan, maybe Mahomes, I don't know their relationship, but if I'm Matt Nagy or the Chiefs wide receivers coach, it's, dude, we needed you. Yeah. Our receiver core wasn't the same as it was. You know, with Tyreek gone, we haven't found a great replacement for him. Rice in and out, Worthy in and out. Valdez Scantling, Juju Smith-Schuster, not exactly moving the needle. Life came at Travis Kelce pretty fast, it seems like. And for the most part, he handled it well. Like, yeah. A down year for him is still a pretty incredible year for, you know, 95% of NFL tight ends. But the Chiefs didn't need 95% of NFL tight ends. Yeah. They needed Travis Kelce to be Travis Kelce, and not just meet the level that he'd been at, but even if the numbers just got to that level, he needed to exceed the work for a team that had fewer weapons, I think, on offense, and especially with the offensive line, where what's the easiest way, you know, be that safety valve, use that right. connection you have with Mahomes to get open early, save him some hits, save your offensive line. So I don't think there's anything, you know, wrong about what Travis Kelce did. More power on, you know, to him for taking advantage of the off-field opportunities and whatnot. But I guess if I'm a Chiefs fan hearing that, I'm excited that Travis Kelce is maybe a little bit more rededicated. He understands the gravity of the situation and that he wants to prove, you know, a hungry Travis Kelce is still in there and that there is another level that he thinks he can reach again.
Yeah, I think mainly because when you look at it from 2023 to 2024, I think 2023, he was fine. I mean, he had, you know, essentially 1,000 yards, and he turned it on, him and Mahomes, and he played one last game. He only played 16 games. And so now that was the emergence of Rice, and that's actually the year they won a Super Bowl. And yeah. it was led by essentially Travis Kelce, where mm-hmm. he was essentially unstoppable. Mm-hmm. You got to remember he went 11-11 against the Baltimore Ravens on the road.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of got into it with the kicker before. So I think you get a pass on that one. Right. But I think what people don't understand is about when you aren't disciplined, it catches up to you, not at the time. It catches up to you at a later date.
But just because you get a pass doesn't mean you need to use the pass.
No, but yeah. But what I'm saying is it didn't. So let's just say the off season before 2023, when he started to spread us so thin, he had already put the work in 2 or 3 years before
2020.
So you're right. So he was like locked and loaded. Right. Mm-hmm. So he played 2023, probably got mm-hmm. spread even more thin. You backdoored your way into a Super Bowl. Oh, gee, thanks. You guys don't want to compete?
Guess we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. Thank you. another long season, right? A longer mm-hmm. season, shorter off season, cramming in more. And I don't know, you know, him and Taylor Swift been together for a while. So then that changes things, right? Mm-hmm. You remember during a bye week, he was down in a Rangers game or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. he was digging it, right?
Yeah.
And then his brother retired, and then, you know, you start the podcast with him, which is awesome. And then they just re-upped their big deal. Mm-hmm. And then you have last year, and he had 984 yards in 2023, 840 last year. Both years led the Chiefs in receptions. But he had 984 yards in one last game in 2023. Here's the big difference. In the regular season, he had 5 touchdowns. Last year, he only had – or 2023 – he had 5 touchdowns, right? And that was, again, with the emergence of Rice. So that's, you know, you'll take that. But in 2024, he had 3 touchdowns. Here's the bigger part of it. Yards after catch in 2023 was 469 yards. That's the same Travis Kelce that is the dude. Mm-hmm.
That you're used to.
Last year was 340. And he had one more game. Mm-hmm. That's where you didn't see, you know, the second half is, you know, his legs looked a little bit tired, but that was just mainly because he wasn't able to catch a second win. And then, so that's where, you know, when you have to have some realization, all right, you know, I needed to really step it up. And you got to think for him, Travis Kelce in the postseason in 2023, going back, he had 3 touchdowns in the one post in 4
in
games
postseason.
In the postseason.
Yeah.
355 yards.
90 yards a game is a tight end. In the postseason.
Yeah.
That's huge.
So you add those 2 yards. I mean, that's the dude right there. And again, that's what Rice doing his thing. And then obviously some other guys. And so, you know, as a teammate, you know, Travis Kelce is a guy that, you know, you earn, you know, you trust him. Mm-hmm. I would still take him, even though, and everybody, and you never know if he had some ailment. So one thing I learned is you never pass judgment if a guy is having a down year, because you never know what's going on. It could be stuff at home. It could be stuff like internally. Mm-hmm. And so anytime, you know, it takes a lot. This is, I guess you could think this about Nebraska as well. Now, obviously their distractions are different. It could be schoolwork. It could be home life as well, or you got something, extended family or whatever it could be. That's kind of, you know, taking your mind other places. But I think sometimes, especially when you get these, keyboard warriors and stuff like that. And this is just, you know, in general, right. And everybody's fell into this trap of, you know, coming down hard on players. Heck, when we were little, you drop past all, you suck, or whatever. You know, I think
now there's money on the line, Jay.
In the NFL, especially, yeah, they do it a lot now with the betting. In the NFL, especially, with so much going on in a very small roster, it takes a lot of courage to put that uniform on, to answer the bell.
Mm-hmm.
It does. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are contemplating whether they can muster up the, you know what, to go
do it another year,
do it another week. Mm. Because a lot of times, man, your body is broke down until Saturday. You play Sunday. It's mental.
Just to get broke down again.
Just to play. You're in bad shape, man, majority of the time. And so it wears you out mentally. So I think, you know, with Travis Kelce went in the locker room, that's why I was like, all right, guys, you know, look, you're dating an iconic superstar, worldwide superstar.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We understand you've got distractions. I mean, every time she came to a game and all that, and I'm sure there's preparations prior to all that, and I'm sure it changed the way that he was able to do it. But then, you know, I think now he probably has a better handle on it. Probably, you know, I can't speak for him. I'm just assuming maybe she does too. So mm-hmm. They're probably at different parts in their, or they're at a different, you know, space in their relationship. So you can, you know, and probably he's a voice like, hey, I gotta lock in.
Mm-hmm.
This is not how I'm going out. And plus the way they went out, getting embarrassed. They physically got embarrassed. And I said, listen, when Mahomes tried to wear the green suit and Kelce had his thing, that was desperation. You never mm-hmm. saw
his mind games.
That was mm-hmm. a desperate mind game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was
they felt they had to resort to it.
They thought it would work.
Mm-hmm.
Not so fast.
Were they more physically overmatched against the Eagles or the Bucks?
Does it matter? It was,
well, it's first, different kind.
Hold on, you face Tom Brady, he's gonna cut your heart out. he's gonna Hannibal Lecter you all day long. So I think Philly. I don't know, man, because the House of Spears got busy on him too.
That's what I'm saying. To me, just from the outside view, obviously both teams dominated the Chiefs with their front four primarily. Philly seemed to do it a little more exotically than Tampa did, because that Tampa first offensive line that got run over was just getting beat by 4-man pressures all day. Philly at least tried a couple interesting looks and they all worked.
Yeah, Philly.
But Philly, I think, was the better team compared to Tampa.
Well, I mean, the two receivers. I don't know, man. I mean,
the Tampa team was really good. I'm just saying, I might be underrating last year's Eagles team.
They faced two really good, purposeful, physical teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the guys that could do it, though.
Yeah.
You got to think, you had Lavonte David at his prime. You had 45. Is that Smith? The linebacker from LSU?
Oh, yeah. White. Yeah.
When he was mm-hmm. when his mind was right.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Barrett from...
Barrett from Boys Town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they had Ndamukong Suh. Was big man Vada there too?
I think so.
You had Antoine from Winfield. I mean, they had Carl Davis and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably Philly overall was probably more talented.
A little younger as well.
Yeah. I mean, you got Lane Johnson. I mean, it's, yeah, but they faced the buzzsaw last time they played. That might, I don't know. Hey. But Philly's defensive line, boy, if they played again, because you can't say anything. Like, you're not, like, you might be hyped up to play, but not only did we beat you, we really beat you.
We took your Super Bowl manhood.
Yeah. But Kansas City got the, they got my homies.
They do.
Yeah. So it's interesting, man. I think this is a really interesting part of college football training camps, NFL training camps. Obviously, the Austin, on another subject, the talk of the weekend, or the talk of the league right now, is Shedeur Sanders. And really, there's two of the worst teams in the league. It's the Cowboys and the Browns. The Cowboys are doing it because they like the attention.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jones does. Now, Cleveland is different. The spotlight is on Cleveland like never before. And here's what people don't understand about this situation is the spotlight is on Cleveland, and you're starting to see chinks in the armor from the owner, GM, head coach, coordinators, and the team. Because the team is looking. When the owner comes out and the GM comes out, you're looking at them sideways. Because Kenny Pickett, he's probably got to go to IR.
I would assume so.
Right. He's got a really bad, he must be really hurt. And by this time, he's way, he hadn't practiced since like June minicamp. Like, right. You're way out of like game shape, right? And then you got to think Dylan Gabriel as well. And then Shador Sanders, essentially to deck stack the, I mean, I don't understand why you would draft a guy and say, I'd want you to probably do well. Because if I don't want you here, I'm going to try to trade you. But Cleveland does everything backwards. Well, now he performs well. And now you have, this would be interesting to see what comes out of Cleveland. Is now, or Shador Sanders got hurt, and they already announced quickly, it's an oblique injury, that he's not going to play against Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now they cut the faucet off. Now they're trying to make it so you can't ask about it. But now the spotlight is really on Andrew Berry. And is there friction between Stefanski?
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen this in the NFL. One guy stays, right? And one guy can go. Most likely it's the GM, head coach goes if things don't work out right. But now it's like, okay, well, how long has this rift been going on? Is this a Booth and Malone thing as far as the Denver Nuggets? Or is this, was it Ryan Boyles and Eberflus in Chicago? And then he hires, Johnson as a head coach. Mm-hmm. Because the way Cleveland went about it and the way Haslam has talked about it and the way Stefanski returned a text to, I think, Sal Palantonio, who was like, oh, yeah, he did a really good job of taking what the defense gave him and keeping the team on. It wasn't a glowing report from the head coach.
It was not.
When doesn't matter who he was playing against, those throws that he made, those were big boy throws.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to either try to trade Dylan Gabriel, so you need to highlight him now,
mm-hmm.
or you try to trade Shador Sanders, or you keep four quarterbacks or three quarterbacks and just wait to Joe Flacco. But then you're in more trouble, because at that point in time, if Joe Flacco gets hurt, your season's probably over. Now you have veterans knowing that you're cashing it in,
mm-hmm.
so then guys are more apt to go on injured reserve, because now you have two rookie quarterbacks that haven't played all year.
Yeah.
So now we're back to square one.
So are you saying the Browns should roll with the rookie and have Joe Flacco just on retainer in case?
No, start Joe Flacco, but you're going to have to decide between Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders. And you got to do it now.
And that's an almost unprecedented move from the Browns, to take two quarterbacks in the same draft that late. It's one thing if you take your first round guy if you're picking in the top 10,
like
and then you take a sixth round throw in practice squad guy, but a third rounder and a fifth rounder? Really? You put yourself in that position? Was that an ownership thing? A GM thing? Was that a Stefanski thing? I like Kevin Stefanski.
I do too.
I maybe he's Chip Kelly, where he's going to be best as a coordinator, but I think he's a fine, solid head coach. I do. Maybe I'm overrating him. Maybe he's not getting the support from the front office, because I also think Andrew Berry's a pretty good general manager. Cleveland's just Clevelanding. You know, I don't have a great explanation for it.
What would you do? Dylan Gabriel looked like he should be in eighth grade.
He does, and he doesn't want to play in the cold, so I'll take a fourth for him. Not get a fourth for him, but I would ask for a fourth for my third, essentially, Haven't really installed that much for a rookie, I wouldn't think.
But if you're Shador Sanders, generally, because he hasn't done anything wrong as a teammate, right? So hopefully they think he's more humble now. I'm assuming that's the reason why you didn't know it was a league-wide memo not to draft him. So now, do you think you have a better chance if Cleveland cuts you to go somewhere else? Because the problem is,
I think both, right? You have a better chance to go somewhere if Cleveland cuts you, but I think you also have a better chance to play in Cleveland.
1 year. because you know if they don't want you now, they definitely aren't going to want you if there's a quarterback that he can possibly tank for. More importantly, let's just say you play good for 2 years, okay, or three.
Then here comes that option year.
Here comes the option year, and since he was a fifth-round draft choice, you can sign him to a long-term contract at any point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to think the same guys that didn't want you there in the first place, even though they drafted you, are not going to pay you. So now you're older in the league. Now, if you're playing good, it's fine. But now you rolled the dice with them.
If I'm Shadur, I don't necessarily want to stick it out in Cleveland.
You have no choice.
But you have no choice, yeah. Right? It's probably what's going to end up being best for you. It's where you're probably going to get the most reps because, like it or not, they are the team that drafted you. No matter how begrudging it was, they saw enough in you to take you. Yeah. I still think Shadur can see the field quicker in Cleveland than pretty much anywhere besides maybe New Orleans.
Yeah, and he knows he knows the Cleveland playbook. They, you know, everybody around. I mean, Cleveland's the best place to go and play. But say he plays well, and even if he doesn't play until after like week 8 or the last 4 games of the season, mm-hmm. like you have to. Now here's where he kind of really hurt himself, I guess, whatever reason, perception or reality or whatever the. You know, it was probably unfair, obviously. The reality is he's better than a fifth-round draft choice. Whoever mm-hmm. tries to get on there, and I know they're probably, you know, told what to say, like the Marcus Spears and all. They're like, oh, with a draft. No, Marcus Spears, you know he's better than that. Matter of fact, Marcus Spears, you weren't a first-round pick. Let's be honest.
Right.
All right. Now, whatever it was, right, he turns some people off or whatever. They have personal stuff that's been festering for Deion, and maybe Deion said something about them or the organizations for quite some time.
Would Deion say something like that? No way.
Well, when he was with NFL Network, I'm sure he was clowning people. Probably. I'm sure, right? And okay, then you know what? This the boomerang come around. Get you know, come around. You know what goes around comes around. Here's where it really, like, where I guess where he hurt. You know, he could hurt himself is that. Now, no, like he could really say, you know what? I know Cleveland doesn't want me. I actually played pretty decent. I think I can go to the Raiders now. I can go to New Orleans, or like I would. I'd rather have a new start there. Now his agent can't even go there because guess what? Cleveland's gonna say, "Oh, he's had some success. We want him. Now he doesn't want to be here." Then you just start it all over again.
I'm getting Baker Mayfield overtones.
Oh, he's gonna go somewhere and play decent. I mean, listen, when you think about it, if Sam Darnold and Andy Dalton can get second, third, and fourth contracts,
mostly Sam Darnold. Like Andy Dalton was solid, pretty darn good in Cincinnati.
Yeah. So
Sam Darnold was seeing ghosts.
Yeah,
and admitted as much.
Yeah. So if Sam Darnold can get $58 million.
Shadur Sanders can get $58 million.
As long as you just keep your head on straight and. You know, be a good teammate, you'll be just fine. But man, that's he's stuck, man, in the sense of he can't even really like advocate for himself. You can't. All you have to do is just say the right things,
because mm-hmm. otherwise it's gonna be taken.
It's gonna take him that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then when just say he feels, say Joe Flacco gets hurt or dinged up or knocked out or pulled, and he plays, and they keep putting Joe Flacco in there. Well, then he's like, well, I can't even validate if somebody, I guess in this case, retweets that he should be playing, because then they're like, see, you're social media. So then it's kind of like now you just kind of got to wait it out, and you got to either hope for whoever is the main person, he's got to be gone, whether it's Stefanski or Barry or both.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, if it's the owner, you just got to go move on.
It's not going to be the owner.
Yeah. You just got to move on somewhere else. But you know what? I don't think Carolina believes in Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young could be all right, you know? I think he showed life last year. I don't think the head coach, he already told you, I want this dude. Mm-hmm. He didn't believe in him. No. So
let's say you're the Saints. You don't like what Chuck's giving you. You don't like Spencer Rattler. He gets hurt or something. Who are you calling first? Indy for Richardson or Cleveland for Shadur?
I'm calling Cleveland first, but they will call and take Richardson and go through the pains of watching Richardson. That's how petty and dumb some people are in the NFL, especially if they have a long landing strip. It's petty. Richardson, I'm not going to turn up. Like, he's getting, like, here's the funny thing about him. He's getting more opportunities than Justin Fields. And Justin Fields is actually performing.
Actually better.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so I hate to say, like, he's not an NFL quarterback. I think for him, here's the thing. I saw this with David Carr. If you don't have somebody there to show you, like, as they, and I talk about this, like, when they have financial advisors going, if you don't have somebody to show you, it hurts, man. But when David Carr went to New York, no chance of playing. Eli's there. Mm-hmm. He was able to be a really good backup and came in and won some games and it extended his career. Mm-hmm. That's where I see if Anthony Richardson can get somewhere. But he's got to get in his playbook. Like now.
Like yesterday.
Yeah. I hate it for him, but you know what?
At least Daniel Jones is there.
They can call Cleveland. It's not that far of a flight. Indianapolis to Cleveland, Cleveland to Indianapolis.
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, bang.
They would take Kenny Pickett before Shadur. They would do that to me.
Yeah. This is the problem with a lot, you will sink the ship versus getting somebody that can drive the ship for the simple fact, are you mad at his dad from like 20, 30 years ago?
Or you don't want to admit you're wrong?
That's probably the bigger part. You know who that reminds me of? Not going to say it. We're going to break.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Second segment, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. A little inside NFL news. Hey, man. Here's the thing, Austin. Now we'll do a little baseball since everybody says all we do is football. Hey, man, the Twins said, you know what? Not so fast.
We're still here.
Yeah. The Pollad family. Mm-hmm. I think between the Taylor family and that cell of the Timberwolves and the Pollad family, obviously they've been owners of the two franchises forever. I think they have a little bit of a hard time relinquishing those franchises. The Pollads are a little bit older. I would probably sold it, but now they're trying to get invested.
It's just wildly fascinating to see them make that decision. Oh, no, we're good. We like our franchise. We're not going to sell it. Because it really seemed like they shipped off a lot of their assets at this trade deadline to put themselves in a better position to sell.
Yeah.
Maybe the best time to sell is, hey, we're winning. Come take this over. We'll get the most money. But a lot of groups will want to, buy low. Right. Oh, yep. They bottomed out. We can do fresh start, all sorts of things. They brought in some new people, a handful of years ago to make some changes. Had a 100-win year, have made the playoffs. This year, it looks like they're deciding to blow it up. They're going to sell. But the fact that they changed their mind just makes them look cheap.
Yeah. And they're going to get some investors, which I was like, what do you need investors for?
Rich.
Yeah. And the thing is, they were saying that they're gonna try to create a winning culture and they want to win, so that lets you know you haven't been winning. It's like that old was it Major League movie?
Yeah
no hot tub, no cold tub, the Jets aren't working. So I grew up with the Twins obviously winning World Series and doing well, so I don't they've been pretty consistent with Tom Kelly. Mm-hmm.
Good boy Ron Gardenhire.
Yep, he did good. And was it Paul Molitor did decent?
It's fine.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. So now they're a little bit of a downslope. And they have a great ballpark.
Nice ballpark. I was there.
Yeah, great ballpark. Mm-hmm. I like it. And mm-hmm. then great, pretty good fan support, good time, and just not enough good players. I don't know if it's the foreign farm system or just, development or probably a little bit of everything. But I think it's another example, again, along with in the NBA news, and we're not just jumping around NBA news, is that the Portland Trail Blazers, Judy Allen sold them for $4
billion. Woo!
Now,
Portland.
Yeah. But I think that's also, it lets you know, it's probably not in her wheelhouse, right? Because Paul Allen was the original.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she took over, sold it for $4 billion. Probably is like, all right, this is probably not what I want to do. And probably doesn't have any emotional attachment to it. Portland's really changed, you know, Clyde Drexler isn't walking through that door, and
he is not.
Jerome Kersey and all those guys. And so new ownership group is coming up there. But Minnesota isn't a small market. It's a small market in baseball terms. Mm-hmm. Same with Portland in basketball terms.
Right.
And two ownership groups. One's, all right, we're waving the white flag. Now, granted, obviously, is Judy the daughter or the ex-wife or the wife?
Ooh, I don't remember.
Well, it's a family member. Probably not invested. Versus you have the Polad family. They're not letting that bad boy go.
No.
And I wonder if it's because they know it's actually a decent moneymaker. Because if you ain't putting no money in, you're still putting butts in the stands.
She's the sister, by the
sister.
Way.
Sister. Okay. But again, that's probably not her deal.
Well, even the worst franchises, like you buy one, you're going to make your money back.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Real quick.
I mean, now, obviously, you have to have a lot of money to buy one of them. But think about me, even in the last 10, 15 years, going from being sold for 100, 250 million to billions now. And of course, like the average sale price is highest in the NFL. Then yeah. NBA is second. I think Minnesota's a better market than Portland. They've had more success recently than the Blazers have. Even like go post Dame, right? Yeah. The last 5 years have been better for the Twins than it has been for the Trailblazers. But you can consider them comparable markets across the playoffs.
What, 2 years ago?
Yeah, a couple years ago.
And also, when you look at it, I think like this: people don't understand owning sports franchises is probably in that tax bracket a better and safer investment than going out and doing their other stuff.
Well, it's literally foolproof.
Yeah,
your team can be so incredibly bad, and yet you're still going to get your money.
Yeah,
because the league's going to get its money because you'll get the rev share distributions, right? If you're a small market team in baseball, a little bit in the NFL and NBA as well. It's nearly impossible to lose money owning a professional sports franchise.
I wonder what talked the poll ads out of it, and I wonder what the reason. And I understand if you want to get some investors in there, so then essentially you're the majority owner and kind of you get, I call it a stay bonus. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And essentially, you know, we're going to still be the majority owners, and, you know, you're bringing a couple minority owners or, you know, was that 1% or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you get to pay yourself that because, you know, you own it. But
what I didn't realize, Jay, is just how close the Polads came to contracting the Twins. Like wiping the franchise away.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Always.
That's crazy. Not that they have like the most history, but I just can't imagine an MLB without the Twins.
Well, did I ever tell you about the David Ortiz story?
Well, yeah, he like wanted to stay there and they wouldn't pay him a mill or something.
So my cousin worked at the downtown Marriott. David Ortiz came up through the Twins, you know, farm system or whatever. You know, I think he's Dominican, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's living in Minneapolis.
Not many David Ortizes in Minneapolis,
well,
are there?
It's like now you're in the middle of winter. And I remember, and I was back, you know, in Minneapolis and, you know, stopped down to see my cousin. And he'd tell me about David Ortiz. And I was like, all right, let me see this dude. He was real cool. He was like, man, I just, you know, at that time, I think it was 20 home runs. You were considered a power hitter. He's like, I just want $1 million. So he hit his 20 home runs or close to it. Asked the Polads for $1 million. They're like, nope. He goes to Boston for like, you know, a box of crackers and a couple pieces of gum, and now he's a stalwart in Boston Red Sox history.
Yeah, some of the most legendary moments.
And so the Polads were notoriously like that, especially after you know, winning a couple World Series with the Homer Hankies and stuff like that, where they always kind of brought in, you know, Jack Morris or whatever, and all those guys, and paid them pretty well. Kirby Puckett or whatever. Kirby Puckett, you know, had an office there and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the long withstanding, always issues with them. But then I felt like since they're at this point, it's done. Like they wouldn't, why would you sell it now? You already didn't kind of pump faked everybody when you could have sold it or just wiped it or moved the team.
You got to feel pretty good about knowing who your two partners are if you're going to pump fake and not sell.
Well, the thing is that I think part of the reason why they got the new stadium was the pump fake. And, you know, remember when
a lot of public money too, though. Right. So they got it on the cheap for that.
Exactly. But, and then you want to sell it now? Hey, if you ever want to just not be allowed to come back to Minnesota, just do that.
Baseball's just so different, though, Jay, from the NBA to the NFL as well, because those leagues have salary floors. You know, you got to be at, what, 90% of the salary cap or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, gotta, by you the time training camp starts. Money, yeah.
Baseball, you don't have to, which small market teams have that excuse in baseball, which I find some charms and some quirks in baseball system appealing. Right? Like, do I love the Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, Phillies, whatever, blowing through the luxury tax? No, I don't. It's not my favorite thing as a fan of another small market team in the Royals. But also, it gives me a much greater appreciation for, you know, the Royals 2015 World Series, the Twins in the 90s. You think about even what Detroit was able to build there in the mid-2010s, mid to small market teams, when they can find a way to exploit some stat that other people are overlooking, to find, you know, good enough players on the cheap and put together a team like that. I really respect that style of team building when these small market owners, especially primarily, are interested in winning. But you look at Pittsburgh, you know, for example, maybe the poll ads up there in Minnesota. Seattle hasn't exactly spun a bench in free agency. Maybe not a great, you know, example with their success this year. There is just nothing worse for sports when you have owners that don't care and don't try.
Yeah.
Because they know that they're going to double, triple, quadruple their money when they finally decide to sell. They can sit on it as long as they want, put as little into it as they can possibly imagine. And what are the repercussions? There are none. Yeah, there's no penalties.
The biggest penalty is you'll get the 2-week, and that's a stretching it, embarrassment that the league will come in and force to sell, and then they'll sell it for you to whoever they deem fit to buy it, and mm-hmm. then kind of manage it for the new owners.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. That's kind of like the sidebar. Ryan in Nashville, he said, where do they have Harburg practice in tight end? Tight end safety. I got to be concerned. I think he's been
tight end.
Yeah.
All offseason.
Ryan in Nashville, he's been a tight end for over a year. Because he did it last year.
In the bowl game. Mm-hmm. Ryan in Nashville, stop paying attention to the Vols.
Or stop reading whatever blog you've been reading that's giving you bad information that Hiring Harbor is going to play safe at 6'4", 240 pounds. That'd be the next coming of, like, it's before your time, David Fulcher or Kenny Easley or somebody like that. It'd be like Brian Urlacher when he came out of college. Remember, he was a safety?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they bulked him up.
Yeah. No, he's going to be tight end. So
I think of all the positions, tight end is probably the least concerning.
Oh, you got
Lindenmeyer, you got Harburg,
Carter Nelson,
you got Carter Nelson.
And then they asked him about it. They got Ingerson.
Ingerson. Yeah. Two or three other young guys behind him. Unfortunately, the Mark Way injury. But other than that, I mean, you have four dudes that you feel okay with.
Yeah. And I don't think they use tight ends like. I think they use kind of specialty, you know, I call them a la carte pieces to take place of a traditional tight end. So yeah. That's where I think they're probably in a little bit better place than people might think so at this point. So anyways, we're going to take a quick break, come back, put a bow on this old school on Wednesday. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, we'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? A quick segment. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman on this hump day, on this Wednesday. Hot, humid outside, but definitely always a day for grilling. So we want to thank the Mercado, obviously, for their continued support. We got Lighthouse next. My man, Bill Michener, coming up next Friday. 35 years, Lighthouse has been doing great things in the community. The gala is going on. Fortunately, I am not MCing. I will be in attendance, though.
How about that?
I gotta take my suit or whatever, a tux in, and make sure that I can get the dust off.
I was gonna say, what is the Jay Foreman gala attire?
Ideally, I'd wear just black suit coat, black pants, white shirt, and some Air Force Ones. I gotta ask Bill if that's okay.
You're Jay Foreman. It's gonna be okay.
I don't think that's the case, but.
Do you still have your same three color suits from the NFL? Same ones?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, they're a little dusty though. And I gotta change the bottoms of it a little bit. Yeah. It's the style has changed. A little bit too baggy.
It is so funny going back through the NBA draft picks through the years. You
know, I weigh the same, but it's just not the same. The number is the same. I'm just not yoked up anymore.
The proportions are a little different, maybe. Distributed.
My guns are pea shooters right now.
But for a 50 caliber 9mm?
Yeah. You know what's funny is that I didn't have any arms when I came in. And I remember one time, Jason Peter, I hope he's listening. We were on a text message and we were talking about when I was a freshman. He was like, man, you had some skinny arms. You had some pea shooters, little twig arms you had. But I was strong, though. I was wiry strong.
Wiry strong.
Wiry strong.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben on our text line says, bring back the 90s baggy look.
That's cool because you know they say, what does it go around?
Yeah, cyclical. Because
What? Bell bottoms?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Floods? They right?
Ooh.
Yeah.
What was your, like, when you look back at pictures of younger Jay Foreman, what was, like, peak Jay Foreman fashion?
I didn't have any. I told you.
Was it Eric Dickerson Jerry Curl?
I had a Jerry Curl for like 4 days.
Best 4 days of your life?
I thought I was the coolest dude ever. My aunt did it for me. It lasted about 4 days. And I was always had like hand-me-downs. The worst thing that I remember was back when they used to roll their pants and all this other stuff. And so I was trying to, you know, I just moved to Minnesota trying to do all that. My dad was like,
trying to make a splash.
You ain't pinning your... My dad's like, you better not better stop pinning your pants. It ruins your pants. And then I remember when I had this shirt I thought was tight. It was like purple, gray. Had a, you know, I think I might have got it from the JCPenney catalog from my grandma. So I thought I was styling.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, I wore it like once or twice a week.
Oh, yeah.
And I took my senior picture with it. Had a super high top fade.
How high top fade we talking?
I'm 6'2.5. I was a borderline 6'6.
Woo!
But it was untamed.
Woo!
It was untamed.
All right.
Oh, you know, it was there. And then I brought that bad boy down here my freshman year. And the first time, like I must have been after 2 days, went to a house party. We got out. I remember I walked in there and I'm pretty sure they was like, what are you doing?
Coach Osborne brought who here?
Yeah. I have big old glasses and everything and stuff too.
Ben wants to know, were you ever a bucket hat guy?
I'm more of a bucket hat guy now. Oh yeah, I was. Oh yeah.
Like fishing bucket hat.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, when I was, I used to have a Miami Hurricanes bucket hat.
How about that?
Yeah.
What was it? All three primary colors? Was it more green, more orange? More
I had a white? I had a green and white one. Okay. I had a green one and I had a white one.
Nice.
Yeah, bucket hat was my deal. I like bucket hats.
Nice.
I like bucket hats.
I could have guessed that without even you saying that. Like, that just seems like...
Yeah, but, you know, it's... You just got to let it go.
My almost two-year-old right has a bucket hat.
Dude
pulls it off, let me tell you.
Yeah, I just let it go, just like my hair right now. And then plus, if your lineup is messed up or something, I think you can never get mad at somebody with a bucket hat.
I mean, come on.
Gilligan used to wear a bucket.
Can't get mad at him.
Yeah, you can't get mad at Gilligan. So, anyways, stay tuned. Lighthouse is next. Next Friday, if you want to donate or attend, LincolnLighthouse.org. But Bill Michener is about to drop some knowledge again like he does. So, two more weeks or two more shows with Bill Michener. But for Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School, we'll holler at you tomorrow.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panel on hero.co for more information.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save.
Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.